Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about the wisdom of splitting the CEO and board chairman roles in two, and new research that shows that splitting those roles might not be as good of an idea as people tend to think. Dividing these two jobs has been a hot idea among good governance enthusiasts for the last few years. And in fact, this year we even saw a shareholder resolution at the Bank of America forced CEO Ken Lewis to give up his role as board chairman. But Aisha Day, who is an accounting professor at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, she has published some new research trying to quantify exactly how helpful a split can be and found that for many different companies, splitting the CEO and chairman roles is not necessarily a good idea. So Professor Day has joined us to talk about her findings. Professor, thank you very much for your time today.
Hello. Thank you.
First question here is just tell us a little bit about your findings. You indicate that splitting the CEO and the chairman roles is not really that beneficial, but tell us how so and what did you find?
First, I want to quickly rephrase our findings. So we find that splitting the roles is not likely to be beneficial for all firms. So in other words,
okay,
just like any other governance mechanism, there is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to board leadership. So for some firms, it might be a good idea, but for others, it may not be. And basically, this decision has to be made based on a firm-level assessment of costs and benefits. So we actually try to come up with several factors that might make more sense, for a firm to combine the roles. And our main finding is that we find several firm-specific and CEO-specific factors are strongly associated with, the optimality of combining the roles of CEO and chair. To follow up with that, we actually even look at performance consequences for firms that split the roles, particularly those that were forced to split the roles, and we find that performance actually declined for those firms.
How do you quantify performance declining? What sort of measurements or metrics are you using?
So we looked at several market-based performances. So we look at announcement returns when they announce that we have decided to split, and we are splitting mainly because of investor pressure. So, market reaction to that. We look at returns as well as earnings in the periods after the split, so 1 year as well as 2 years. And we also look at the market value of investments made by the new CEO who is not also the chair. So basically, how much does $1 of new investments contribute to shareholder wealth? So that declined as well.
So if those are the problems that might get introduced if you split the roles, do you have any idea why that might happen or what the causes or the correlations are there?
Well, one of the things is probably the original CEO, who was also the chairman of the firm, was a better leader, made better decisions because it was, this person probably had the knowledge base and the specialized training, et cetera, to manage the company as one sole leader. And separating the roles, first of all, may not have as competent of a chairman, and you could have, potentially incomplete transfers of information that could, hinder decision-making. You could also have other problems like they can't, particularly if the CEO and the chairman are both powerful individuals, you could have potential rivalries, different visions, other things that probably make decision-making harder.
Do you have any thoughts on how a company might research or figure out on its own whether a split is the right move for itself?
There are several factors, information needs, like a large firm with a variety of operating segments, firms that deal with a lot of soft information like intangibles, R&D, so where potentially transferring ideas or information is harder or more likely to be incomplete. And you probably need speed in implementing decisions, et cetera. So firms like that may prefer to have one leader. Firms could look at what other monitoring mechanisms are in place that so the cost of having the CEO also be the chair are not that high. Finally, the power, the ability, the bargaining power of the CEO itself. I mean, if you think about a very powerful leader, very popular, it would almost feel like, he or she may not want to have another person to answer to at every point which could just cause personal incentive problems.
So let's assume for a moment that splitting the CEO and the chairman roles is not a best practice for governance. What else might work then to give boards more counterweight to a chairman CEO? Because a lot of companies do want some
right.
sort of a check against somebody who is too strong.
I think that the recent governance changes that we've seen mandated by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act as well as the two major exchanges, they themselves have put in several checks and balances. For example, we have many more independent directors, particularly all the major committees are fully independent. All boards are presided on by an independent lead director that hold, you know, executive sessions without the CEO being in the room. We have greater vigilance by the board, audit committees, auditors, investors. CEOs and CFOs are now more accountable to investors through more real-time disclosures as well as more severe penalties, including prison time. So I feel that in the current regulatory period, the costs or the risks of combining the roles are really a lot less. So, you know, it's not that big of an issue, I feel.
Professor Day, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about, and we really appreciate all of your thoughts today.
Thank you for your interest in my research.
And again, everybody, that was Ayesha Day, who is an accounting professor at the University of Chicago, giving us some new food for thought about whether splitting the CEO and chairman roles is or is not a good idea for corporate governance. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.